Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another incredible episode of Constellation by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
Welcome back to Constellation, or as this episode should be named, Mama!
Mommy!
Alice! The whole episode was just people screaming each other's names in the snow. I mean, it wasn't confusing, but it did feel like the entire episode was just a giant, like an abstract painting. Just everything melted on to itself.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, I wrote in a couple parts of the episode specifically, you know, we're up to date here. We understand there's multiple existences. We understand there's other versions of each person in this show. But we already know that. We're already up to date with Paul. We're up to date with everybody. So this was definitely the episode to give some resolution, or at least push the conflict into the next level of what it's going to be. Because it did start, like middle of this episode, it started feeling a little redundant to me of seeing the exact same thing of Alice running out into the snow. They find another cabin. I don't know what reality I'm in. Screaming. And then eventually we finally get to a place where it's, all right, now we're seeing some progress. We get the realization from Alice, who realizes there's two versions of herself. Talk about a mature 11-year-old.
Yeah.
She finds her beads on the snow, and it seems like that's kind of like the hint towards the fact that there's another version of herself and her mother. We get Joe realizing this as well, or at least confirming this with the, you know, Fisher-Price stock's going up. I mean, this radio has multiple uses. And if you crank it to the right frequency and you look in the mirror, you can talk to yourself in the other world.
Another version of yourself. You're twin, if you're not already a twin.
Yeah, like your twin would have a different color hat than the one you have on right now. Because that's the way they did it with Alice. That was the only way to distinguish which Alice was which. Two things, I think. It was the color of her hat or her clothes, as well as the paintings that were in the cabin. And just note to self, don't put demonic changeling paintings in your cabins. This might be the cause of everything.
Yeah, that's what created the liminal space, would be my guess. Yeah, it was the hat for Alice. And then, you know, the other thing that I noticed that helps me kind of keep track of which one we're looking at is whether or not she says mama or mommy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is mommy Swedish?
No, mama is the one that Swedish speaking Alice says.
Well, Swedish speaking Alice, her mother is still alive, while English speaking Alice, her mother is dead, it would seem. Unless she's miraculously alive on the ISS somehow.
Well, considering that at the end of this episode, we got a living, moving, speaking, seeing, dead cosmonaut. I don't know. Maybe Joe is sort of alive in this really weird in-between space where she's kind of dead, but I don't know. Maybe her soul's trapped in like the middle or something. It's really
so
confusing.
I interpreted that as this was like the Valia trying to kill Alice. That's how I interpreted it. But this is maybe because I'm fresh off of True Detective season 4. And there's a quote in that show that talks about like the spirits that are in that season. By the way, if you want to listen to our coverage of True Detective, I did a two-parter on True Detective where I recap the entire season. My plug. So for the first plug of the episode, where they talk about that the spirits have like different purposes. Some they just want to say hello, another they have a message, and then another like they try to bring them with you or something like that. So I kind of took it like the Valia was trying to bring Alice to her mother. In other words, trying to take Alice to the other side in some ways. But
I don't know.
It could be that Joe's alive.
I don't.
But the Valia is not technically alive.
Well, she's dead, right? I mean, like, that's like, look,
creepy.
Like, I thought I was having a good grip on the show until we got to that point. And I'm just like, well, that's a curveball, man, right? Like, this entire episode, all the way up until the very end, it's like, okay, look, it's pretty clear. There's two realities. There's reality A, reality B. You got this liminal space in between. It's like a Venn diagram. You got like this little bit of overlapping area. And, you know, if you're in that overlap, you can kind of see things from both sides or both realities. But then again, we get to the end and it's just, it's very bizarre. You know, I don't know Irina's motives. We hear Henry talking about how, you know, Irina is going to take care of Joe in the reality where she's not dead, but she's not with her, you know, real daughter. She's with her non-Swedish speaking Alice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure what's going on. Like, that side of things really kind of felt like this was going to be a cover up or something. Just like, hey, take these pills and go sit down. But man, I don't know that dead cosmonaut with the blue eyes too. Like, that was interesting. Interesting choice for me, at least after watching Game of Thrones, the blue eyes.
Like the White Walkers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, seemingly, Joe's going to be heading to Irina pretty soon to get to the bottom of this. And I think that's really going to help push the story forward. I got to say, the liminal space might be working towards my favor of believing in the more than two world existence.
See, and I knew you were going to bring that up. This episode kind of makes it feel that way, but I don't think that's the reality. I feel like it's still
I called it too.
I feel like it's a binary thing. You have a moment where there's overlap in certain areas. Like, I'm struggling to try and think of another way to say it other than a Venn diagram. Like, you've two circles, right? Like there's only two.
Break it down, Professor.
But you have a part where they overlap. It's still two, and it's only two. You just have this point where you can touch both of them at the same time.
For your sake, I hope you're right, because I know Paul was shot, but he's definitely going to live. There's no way Paul dies in that scenario. There's just no way he dies in both timelines. So
I don't know. I don't know, man. That was a gut shot. I mean, Henry / Bud didn't even know where he lived.
Unless Henry's going to spend a life in prison, because we did get that in this episode too. Henry and Bud switch places somehow. Which I wrote down, side note. I have side notes all over my notes. Can we just destroy the cow already? Can we just stomp on that thing? I feel like everything would go away if we just stomp on the cow.
Yeah, I feel like you could break it. There was a moment in this episode where I thought like Joe may have been a bridge. Because like there was this really interesting thing with this cabin, and I'm just gonna call it in liminal space because I don't know what else to call it.
I like to call it third world cabin.
I don't like to do that because I think that's disingenuous, because there is not a complete third world. But anyways, I'm gonna call it the cabin in liminal space. I'm getting mixed up with which Alice saw what, but what I know is one Alice going into the cabin sees a live cat, the other Alice going into the cabin sees a dead cat. And that was consistent throughout this episode. But when Joe went into the cabin, there was both a living and a dead cat. And I was like, huh, is she like a bridge somehow? But then the fact that she couldn't like identify both of her children there really kind of threw me for a loop. So maybe she's just not
the... I want to know what the catalyst was for Henry and Bud to switch places, right? Like, there seems to be this common thread that there has to be a really traumatic moment or crazy moment where this switchover takes place. We had a listener or audience member send us an email of exactly when Joe swapped places, and it was when she came in contact with the Valia. Now, when exactly that occurred for Henry and Bud in this episode, I don't know what caused it, but maybe it was Henry needing to cross over to the other side to save Paul. Maybe that's what caused it. Who knows? But altogether, the story's moving at a rapid pace now. We're going to have Joe getting confirmation. I mean, did you get the sense that maybe all of this would be a lot better if Henry was just up front from the beginning? Like, why are you letting Joe? If you have suspicions that she's dealing with this and you're giving her these pills that you've already prescribed her, the same ones that you're on, why on earth aren't you just being upfront about it? It would have probably stopped this entire breakdown she's having to run away from everybody.
Honestly, I don't really know. I mean, I feel like the whole thing in some ways is, it's like a cover up or something. They just don't want to talk about it at all.
I wonder why they're covering it up.
That I don't know. And you know, like I don't know if the cowl is the catalyst for everything. Like, I don't even know that the cowl is what's doing a lot of this. Like, I feel like a lot of this happened way before the cowl ever came into existence. It was just maybe this is like the cowl's the experiment that helps them prove that this thing is real, right? Like Henry switching from one reality to another, like WTF, okay, let me try and figure this out. And maybe that's like kind of how this thing kind of came about.
From what I understood, I think the impetus for creating the cowl is to create a bridge where you can find like what they were saying, an object in superposition that is existing mm-hmm. in two places at the same time. Now, how does that rule about the observer's rule play into effect where the thing you're observing changes or whatever? I don't know. But it seems that Henry's goal here is that this cowl turns into the bridge where he can go back to his regular life. And Bud seems like a POS in both worlds. He literally throws down this child into the snow, like leaves her there for dead. His first reaction isn't like, I gotta help this girl. It's, who the hell is this girl?
Yeah,
throws her ass throws her.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. But yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I do think that the cowl at least is clearly acting as a bridge. I mean, even in like the last, two episodes, we see that, you know, when they're around the cowl, like that's when all of these things start to happen. Like Joe's feeling, I mean, even in this episode, she has moments where she feels something wrong with her eye. And she's like, oh, I can't really see really well out of my eye.
Which is like the dead Joe who had her eye like sucked into space probably.
Exactly. And so like there, like it's this really bizarre thing where this cowl is really kind of like this bridge is combining things. And I'm wondering if the cabin is the way it is because the cowl is there. You know what I mean? Like I don't know that you could swap over like that without it.
Like you need this place that's a common thread between both spaces type of thing?
Well, but it's not even a common thread between both spaces because it exists in one and it doesn't exist in the other, which is weird, but it did move one to the other, which is
it exists in both because that hallway is the common thread between these two things. If you remember the hallway that we keep seeing a vision of, it's from this cabin.
Yeah.
The cabin is the same. Now, this episode was confusing.
Yeah, you know, parts of it I feel were confusing. Other parts I didn't feel were that confusing. Trying to talk about it and break it down is where you're like, okay, no, that actually kind of, like, the theory doesn't really make a lot of sense. You know, you're not quite sure what each of these little individual things mean.
Well, did you catch in the title sequence is a picture at the very end of the title sequence of the cabin? And it's mirrored upside down underneath it. There's like a mirror version of it underneath it. So there's definitely some sort of upside down world existing here. I just don't know how it all comes together. Because, you know, there's a moment where, you know, Swedish Alice, that's how I label them in my notes, Swedish and English Alice, is asking her mom, when is she going to come home? And she says, I don't know if I can. Well, obviously, now we know she can. Henry had no idea how to swap worlds. I guess Henry, you know, I have a feeling Henry's going to go to Bud's world, realize that Bud is having a hell of a, like, horrible life over there. Right? Because as we discussed in the previous episode, Bud is actually the guy who successfully got everything back to Earth. Henry's the guy where everything went wrong on, and that mission was a disaster. Right?
Yep.
So I have a feeling Henry's going to go to Bud's world and want to get back to... Actually, no. Technically, Bud is in Henry's world. Yeah. Henry's in Bud's world. And so now he's returned back to his original world.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling he's going to want to go back because... First and foremost, he just shot somebody. So if that goes poorly, he's going straight to jail more than likely. But I think Paul will probably drop charges because he's, you know, technically going through something pretty heavy right now. And Henry's his only connection for answers at this point. So I think Henry's pretty safe at this point. But, you know, you never know.
That's a good point. You know, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine you'd go to jail regardless if you just shot somebody in the stomach. But who knows?
It was a mistake. His other version of himself did it.
Yeah, try saying that to the cops. That'll go over well. Sorry, guys. Like, there's like this other version of me, and I just my like quantum switched. Me. Yeah, my quantum twin shot this guy. It wasn't me, I swear. That'd be a great conversation. But yeah, no. Bud and Henry are back in their original places. I mean, look, I kind of think that we're going to end at some point with this show where Joe makes it back to her reality, right? Like this episode clearly establishes that can happen.
How is this going to be a two-season show? Like, how is this going to go multiple seasons? I just don't see it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like this could be a really solid, like, single-season show. like just a really good story told. Like, I don't know that this needs to drag. Like, honestly, like, it kind of get a little boring if this drug on a lot of seasons. I mean, I don't know, man, we might. I'll say this because though I still think what I think, and I want what I think to be true about there being two realities. We could get a curveball at the very end of the season where, I don't know, something explodes and it's just like there was a bunch of freaking universes maintained in the cow. I don't know, some bullshit like that.
Well,
and
I
now we're thrown into season 3 and 4. It's crazy.
I said that in the previous episode that I think like my 3-world theory is going to get bailed out by some crazy thing.
The very
And I think
second.
The liminal cabin is that kind of crazy thing. So, yeah. That's how I'm taking it. If there's a separate cabin that doesn't exist in both worlds, then that's technically a third world. So, or a third space. Anyways, regardless of all that. I just, you know, it feels like, I feel like we got to update our perspective on what a TV show is when it comes to scenarios like this. Mm. I know we have miniseries and whatnot, but yeah. I feel like this is just... Unless something crazy happens, like an unfolding of a fact that we don't know yet. And this turns into something like, oh, now I can see, like For All Mankind. Remember, I think like a couple seasons back, we were like, how is this going to continue? And then now we just finished the previous season and we're like, we could see 6 more seasons of this.
Yeah.
I could see it theoretically. I may not be interested to watch all 6 seasons, but
yeah, that's true.
I could see it, you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't know, man. Like there are some shows where I just wish it was only like a season long or maybe 2 seasons long, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I've seen a lot of just like good shows that are ruined because they just drag on so long. It just like it feels like it's milking it. I hope this doesn't feel that way, but or get that way, I should say.
This also felt like the budget episode. Yeah. You know what I mean by the budget episode? Like, there's usually an episode in each season or two where it's very minimal locations. It's very, like, we shoot this all in one spot. Like, I feel like they could have shot this all, like, in a couple of days, to be honest. Because the whole thing is taking place at the cabin, pretty much. The cabin and in the snow.
Yeah.
So they probably did it, like, in a huge, they didn't shoot this in an actual blizzard. So they probably went to, like, a green screen LED wall type of scenario.
I mean, the lighting is really, really well controlled in here. If you're looking at the cabin with all the lights off and whatnot, but yeah, I think literally almost the entire show really does take place in this place, whether it's inside the cabin or just outside the cabin. We got like a very small snippet of Paul with his gut shot, but that was from like the previous episode. It was just like a perspective. They
also
didn't
another
show.
Location, like just one location.
Yeah.
So. This could be like the Breaking Bad fly episode, the one where Walter's trying to kill the fly in the meth lab the whole time. That was a budget episode. Doesn't leave the lab. The Fisher-Price stereo thing. Crystal clear sound. You think it has crystal clear sound because they're in the middle of nowhere in this cabin?
See, that's what I was getting at. Like, I don't think it's because they're in the cabin. I think it's because the cow is with them, because it was very fuzzy. I mean, the tape is the tape, but it was very fuzzy, like back on the boat when they were just trying to be out in the middle of nowhere. It was very fuzzy. You had to listen really hard, know what you're listening for. They got in the car and they were driving and played it, and it was like crystal clear.
Crystal clear. So whenever the cow's nearby, you get clear signal pretty much.
Yeah.
So this episode leaves us with, because I had to do a recap of like where all the chess pieces are so far. Alice is in critical condition. English-speaking Alice. The cabin is burned to crisps, okay? Mm-hmm. And hopefully all those changeling paintings. Both Alice's know... By the way, there was a switch in one of those where the changeling becomes this angel with a blindfold on being carried by two kids, it looks like. Which reminded me sort of the Ark of the Covenant. If you've ever seen the Ark of the Covenant, it's like you got 4 people carrying it pretty much. Mm. And you got an angel on each side with wings facing each other and the wings touch. Although this was just one angel that was blinded. So I don't know what that means. Very like metaphoric anyways. The cabin's burned. Both Alices know about the other's existence. Swedish Magnus possibly saw Joe. Joe was arrested and was probably being taken to Irina as we speak. Henry and Bud switch places. Paul has been shot, and now Henry is trying to save him. The changeling painting changed several times, although I don't think it changed. I think that was just an indicator of which reality we were in. English Alice wanders in her own unconscious mind and runs into the Valia. Creepy AF. English Alice wakes up. I think the Valia was trying to kill her. I don't know if that's the case. And then the episode ends with Alice saying to her father, we need to get her back. Now, I don't know if she means, you know, that could mean several things. That could mean get her back from Irina. That could mean get back their, like, the true version of their mother from the other reality. I don't know what that means necessarily, but the episode does end. And that is kind of like a conflict in this episode, right? It is, she's trying to save her daughter, but it's her daughter from another world, right? And then she's having to ignore her real daughter while she tries to save her other daughter, right?
Which is really, like, it was an interesting decision, honestly. Like, it was like, why not just, I mean, I get it. Like, part of me was like, just go to the daughter that you want to be with. But then at the same time, like, but it's also still your daughter. Like, I'm like, what? It's like the impossible decision there.
Of course. So there's that bit. And maybe that's what happens. Maybe Joe never goes back to her world. And this is what how it has to stay. But
I can't see that being the case. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know, maybe Irina in this show has just seemed like this evil.
The value of her.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to say like innately evil or anything, but she seems like the bad guy. You know, if there were a bad guy, it seems like it's her and Bud. And it's interesting though, Bud, I don't know, man. I'm a little confused by it, honestly.
I hear you, pal. I hear you. Okay, so any final thoughts before we move on from this episode of where this show might be going?
Hopefully not in the direction where there's like a bunch of zombies walking around, because that's that's gonna be one hell of a pivot.
Like the Valia you're talking about?
Yeah. Look, honestly, like, I feel like we're at the point in the show where we're probably pivoting from understanding what's going on and now trying to figure out like why it's happening and how to reverse it. So I would imagine that we start picking back up with the science a little bit. I'm sure there's going to be some brief moment with Joe, hopefully brief, just kind of being force fed medication, I would imagine. Yeah, I think we're gonna try and just start seeing Joe go into I don't know, some brainstorming mode here, trying to figure out how to connect this bridge and get back to her world, because I don't think she wants to stay in this world. I mean, why would she? She's staying in a world where her husband's cheated on her, because this version of Joe technically did not.
Yeah,
it's not her. Like, she has no real reason to want to stay here, right? I mean, because both her husband and her daughter are alive in both realities. Like, I mean, I wouldn't want to stay here. I'd want to get back to the reality where my family's still alive, but it's my family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get into some categories. I mean, I would love to talk more about this episode, but it's just, like I said, it felt like just like a swath of paint that you just kind of spread over and just like flatten out completely. It just felt all together the same to me throughout the entire episode, like just the same thing happening over and over and over. So I'm very much looking forward to the next one for some clarity on, you know, how this is all going to get resolved.
Yeah, same here. Let's start with favorite character of the episode.
Alice.
You kind of got to give it to her. Like, she kind of,
I wrote down, I've written down several times this season that she's just such a hell of an actor.
Both of them, because she's played by twins.
She's played by twins, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I did not know.
Yeah. So
I feel like
so,
we mentioned that and I forgot that.
I think I told you off air. I don't know if I mentioned it on air, but Yeah, one of them is played by one twin, and the other. So like there's very slight differences in like their facial features if you're looking really close.
Interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, like they're both doing a phenomenal job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about you, Alice as well?
It's hard to not give it to Alice. I mean, this entire freaking episode is about Alice. It's more about Alice than it is about Joe, in my opinion.
I wrote down a couple times like how difficult. Just put yourself in her shoes. I like doing that with any type of show I'm in, like to kind of put yourself in the place. Imagine being like that young, and you're going through this thing that you know is true, but nobody around you understands it. That's one of the things in this episode that I hope Magnus eventually comes around to be an ally to her in terms of like helping her rather than, you know, Magnus looks like he's on the verge of sending her ass to a mental institution.
Well, I mean,
and what father wouldn't be concerned, you know?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say put yourself in his shoes. Your daughter's walking around talking about how she's seeing your dead wife or dead mother. Like it's a little unsettling. So I get that. But yeah, I mean, there was a moment here in this episode where I mean he clearly saw Joe, like he saw to the other side. So though I don't think his brain was able to really process what he saw. He did see it. So he's got this like elements of curiosity about him now, instead of like disbelief about everything that Alice says. So
yeah,
interesting. Yeah. Alice for me. Gotta give it to her, or gotta give it to them, I guess. How about favorite scene of the episode?
I don't know how to pick it. It's like the whole thing is the same scene. It kind of
is the same scene.
I'll say that my favorite scene was Joe opening the cabinet, seeing her daughter, and then talking to her daughter across the other side. I thought that was probably the most powerful scene in the episode for me.
That was good. I think that was really good.
That was an emotional scene.
It was, sure. But mine is Alice. I'm sorry, talking Joe making, no, oh. not that. It was Joe making the impossible decision in my mind. You know, she's like, and, you know, trying to save both of her daughters. I mean, again, like the scenes, they kind of run together. You're right. It is all in one place, but I see those as two like big events.
Distinct. Yeah.
Sure. So I would give it to that one first just because it was, I mean, like I liked it overall. It was pretty epic with the lighting, the fire going on in the background and just the mixed match of like, okay, is she going to go with her Alice, stay with this Alice, save this Alice? Like what's that going to happen? Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing I was thinking about when I was watching it is like, okay, Go to your Alice and just be back with your family and like be back to normal, or stay here and you're saving this version of your daughter who's not really your daughter in a way. But then, I mean, like, man, like you're getting arrested, are you not? Like everybody thinks you're crazy. You're being sent to a psych ward or something. Mm-hmm, you just about killed your daughter. Your cabin's on fire, like. Not the place I would want to stay, but I like that scene. Any lines that stood out to you?
I do not have any lines from this episode. Do you?
It was just a who the fuck are you, kid? I'm cold. I'm in my underwear.
Well, you went with Bud. Okay. Bud Caldera.
I mean, his lines are always the most random.
Yeah.
They're just like, and he's so serious about it. Like, Bud seems such a douche.
I wonder what Bud's going to get up to after this episode.
He's gonna, I mean, dude, he's clearly gonna like fuck stuff up. Like that's what I like. I mean, he made a vow to Henry. He's like, I'm gonna fuck shit up. And I'm like, okay,
Henry's not really there anymore. He has no reason to.
I mean, why not? Like your life is destroyed. Like, what do you have?
His life is not destroyed. He's just got to the good one.
But I mean, he's gonna want to take vengeance out on Henry's good guy life because he's still got this like bridge. He can show them. He can ruin his world and everything. I don't know.
So he just seems like a bitter Bud Caldera.
He seems like a bitter old man. I mean, at this point, like he's been there for how many years?
Yeah.
Till he's grown old.
Yep. Pretty much.
So, yeah, that's my favorite.
That about wraps it up then, huh?
I think that does it. That's all I wrote down. Unless you want to just think about how weird it would be to listen to a tape about your, business partner talking about your dead body. She's badly wounded.
Yeah, I could see why she turned off the tape. Imagine if you were doing that like at home, and I would turn that shit off too, man. Like if you were hearing about yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
It's creepy.
Hell no. And in front of your daughter, too. Like, you know what I mean? That's traumatizing as hell.
Yeah.
You know, Alice is very well adjusted for dealing with all this. Like, you know,
she's found very out today. Mature in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Anyways. All right, that about wraps up this episode. We hope you are enjoying our coverage of Constellation on Apple TV. Check out our other content on the channel. We just finished Masters of the Air. Zach is posting some Peaky Blinders content. Zach is also going to be on a move, so you're going to be dealing with at least 1 to 2 solo episodes from me, unless he gets, you know, settled real quick and is able to be there. But nonetheless, you're going to be having to hear me on a, you know, 25 to 30 minute monologue on Constellation for the next couple of weeks. And other than that, I've been watching The Gentlemen on Netflix. Guy Ritchie's first TV show based on the movie of the same name, not the same actors. Very good cast. Fun, wacky type of, you know, I dig it. I love gang shows, man. I love, you know,
clearly
mafia gang shows. It's just, I think I'm watching 2 right now. I'm watching Tokyo Vice. I'm watching The Gentlemen. But Gentlemen is more or less serious. It's more of like a parody on a lot of things. And it's fun. Reminds me a lot of Snatch. Reminds me a lot of the movie The Gentleman. So anyways, that's that. There's a lot of good Apple TV shows coming out soon. The Hunt just came out. Palm Royale just came out. It's dominating the charts. I haven't watched it yet, so I can't comment. We have Sugar coming out with Colin Farrell. That looks dope. And then there is another show. Oh, the Benjamin Franklin show with Michael Douglas. Mm-hmm. That's probably my most anticipated show that's coming out. And then you got the new look that's out. Apple TV is on fire. Their catalog is unrivaled right now. Unfortunately, you know.
Have you watched any of the new look yet?
No, I'm going to watch that in between. Well, once Constellation's over, I'll probably get to that.
I've watched the first 2 episodes of it so far. It's pretty good. It's not like the best that Apple's made, but I mean, I'm liking it so far, and especially if you've watched Masters of the Air and watched any other World War II movies or shows recently, it's just kind of interesting to you know, pay attention to another story told in the same time.
I agree. Ladies and gents, if you want to contact us, we want to hear your theories on Constellation. Please, the show's confusing. We want to know what's going on. We want to know if you know more than we do. Contact the Soapbox Lighthouse is the way to do that. Make sure you like the show. Make sure you review it. Help us combat the people who attack us relentlessly. Not relentlessly. It's not that big of a deal. I don't care. But nonetheless, it is great to have the good reviews outweigh the bad reviews. So, Zach, anything else to add, my friend?
No, sir. That will do it. If you want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon. But thank you for listening to this episode of Constellation by Story Archives. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Spotify podcasts primarily. You can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network. Visit our website at soapbox.house. Email us at contact@soapbox.house. And there is a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
And that's, all right. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.